One of the things that I love about this time of year is that I can sleep with my window open at night. It's not only great because of the fresh air that blows through, but in the mornings during the week, I wake to a joyful noise. As many of you know, I am not a morning person. So it's pretty typical that by the time I am actually waking up, the children at St. Martin de Porres School are out for their morning recess period. I can hear the sound of them playing. I can hear the laughter and the squeals of joy. But I can't actually hear the words they say because of the utter chaos of these children talking and cheering and playing and laughing. I can hear the sound, but I cannot understand the words. There's just too much going on. The sound is kind of like being in Grand Central Station during rush hour, or JFK Airport at the time when there are planes coming and going every few minutes. Many words, many sounds, and no real common thread in the conversations. It is this kind of scene where the spirit breaks forth in an amazing and astonishing way, while the chaos of sound has a beauty of its own, especially when it's punctuated by laughter and joyful squeals of children playing. The breaking in of the Holy Spirit brings that to a whole different level, to the level of deep understanding and to the level of acceptance. In Acts today, we heard one particular dramatic event where in the cacophony of voices and languages, God's Holy Spirit gives the disciples the ability to speak in a language that everyone present in a language that everyone present could understand. The literal translation of this verse from the Greek is this: "And they were filled with all Spirit holy and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was given to utter forth." Now, Greek uses a slightly different way of ordering their words than we do in English, but it does appear that the writer in Acts, or the writer of Acts, is reporting a situation where plain old Galileans were suddenly able to communicate in languages that were not their own. And in verse 8, we hear that the people are proclaiming that they are hearing the words in their own languages, not that they were able to suddenly understand a foreign language. And to me, this is an important point. It's not that the hearers could suddenly understand. It's that the Holy Spirit was able to allow the speakers to reach the people, to reach the people who were listening where they were at. This seems like a subtle difference, but it's one that speaks volumes. It's not about us getting to some place of understanding, but about God coming to each of us where we are. And even more than that, it's a reminder about the beauty of diversity. Something, this theme, that was picked up a couple weeks ago during our Bible study that we did after church. The idea is that God's intent is not that we are all one in the sense of being like Stepford wives, looking and acting in identical ways and losing our identities, but that we are all one because we can embrace and lift up the differences we all bring to community. Further, throughout this psalm this morning, we get the sense that diversity is intentional, from the little teeny creatures to great huge leviathans. And the psalmist proclaims that it is with wisdom that the Lord created them all. It has been suggested by many scholars that this Pentecost event described in Acts is the answer or an antidote to the events of the Tower of Babel that we find in Genesis 11. So this story that I mention in Genesis, it's a story where all the people are starting to work together to build a city that would reach to heaven, so that they could, as the scripture says, so that they might make a name for themselves and not be scattered. God saw this and knew this was a bad idea, and he destroyed their ability to understand each other by creating different languages. The unity that these people were working towards was one in which they were going to be glorified, not God. And we all have seen when an institution exists to glorify itself, those who do not fit in become oppressed, and those who aren't able to contribute in ways that are expected get pushed to the margins and ignored. While the Tower of Babel has been portrayed as a curse or a punishment, with this story of the first Christian Pentecost being affixed to that curse, I see blessings in both of these stories. Speaking different languages, coming from different cultures, having different skin tones, expressing gender and sexual identity in different ways. These differences do not exist because we have been punished in some way, but instead they exist because we have been blessed to live in a world where there is great diversity. And this blessing is reinforced by the story of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago, where the disciples were enabled by the Holy Spirit to connect to hearers from many different backgrounds. And of course, proclaiming God's message to the world didn't begin and end on that Pentecost so long ago. This story exists to show us how we should be interacting with others in our world now and into the future. How we should be opening ourselves to God's Holy Spirit so that we might communicate in ways that others would understand. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that even though we may be very different, we can come together to give this world a vision of the unconditional love of God for all. On this Pentecost Sunday, we are asked to think a little more about the Holy Spirit than most Sundays of the year. So I'm going to ask you now, when you think about the Holy Spirit, what is your description? All of today's lessons and many verses that surround these lessons give us different ways to picture the Holy Spirit. From Acts, we heard that the Holy Spirit is described as violent winds and tongues like flames. In today's psalm, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God. From Romans, Paul describes the Holy Spirit as that intimate connection between us and God, the one who makes us children, not slaves. And then from John, we are given a cornucopia of descriptions throughout his gospel: Spirit of truth, dove, advocate, teacher, witness, helper. And those are just a few. Of course, we cannot ascribe any one descriptor or attribute to the Holy Spirit. But when we put all of them together, we get the sense that the Holy Spirit is what gives and sustains life. Life as the children of God. Life as witnesses to our world. Life as a community of believers. Life that will make it possible for us to do the ministry that Jesus has put before us. One of the beautiful reminders in today's gospel is that Jesus was in some ways limited in what he could accomplish because his ministry and time on earth were short. But he tells Philip and those with him, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these." And then Jesus promises that we will have the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide us in those works. The Spirit to guide us as individuals, and the Spirit to bring us together as a diverse community and guide the work we do. So I pray the following words, some written by me and some written by Dr. Tyler Mayfield. Come, Holy Spirit, witness to us in our many languages. Speak in the language of our fear. Let us hear how our worries about the future, about each other, about ourselves, can find rest in your care. Speak in the language of our gratitude. Let us hear how our honest thanks relates us, not only to those with whom we believe, but also to you, the Lord and giver of life, and indeed to the whole world. Speak to us in the language of hope. Let us hear how our deepest yearning and our expectations are not just wishful thinking, but responses to your promise. Speak to us in the language of discipleship. Let us hear how our words and actions are guided by you when we openly and honestly ask for your guidance. Speak to us in the language of diversity. Let us hear how in your brilliant wisdom you created this world that houses a wide range of sordid beings, all of which you treasure and ask us to treasure. Speak to us in whatever language we need to hear. Amen.